Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show. All week, the word accountability has been used, and really stretching back to last week, considering the Texans' penalty problems. So this show needs to be held accountable. There was a lot of Scoobles slander yesterday, mostly from Sean Mapes. So I'm putting the blame on him, and he's not here to answer for his slander. He is in the process of moving. He'll be back tomorrow. He said he wouldn't learn Scoobles' first name until he did it in the playoffs, and he did. Scoobles was his dominant self. The Astros don't score a run until the ninth inning, and they go down 3-1. And the other thing we need to be held accountable for is not mentioning how bad Fromber was last year. We operated as if, oh, Fromber is just going to be nails. He's a good, proven starting pitcher in the playoffs. He's going to be fine. The person in question should be Scoobles, who's never done it before, even though he was coming off a Cy Young-worthy season, one where he won the Triple Crown in pitching. Well, we saw, despite Fromber's really good season, bad Fromber was back, and for an inning. He didn't go very long on the game, but it was brutal. 3 2-out singles, drives in all the runs as the Astros go down yesterday 3-1. And now it's an elimination day. I didn't think it was going to be the case today. I thought they would win game one. They'd find a way. Scoobles, as good as he was, I thought Fromber would be, at least he would match him and they'd find a way to scratch across some runs and win it. Just not the case. So now we're in a moment where it's desperation time, and we'll hear from Alex Bregman in a little bit here. He talked about how this entire season's kind of been like this, where the team has had their backs against the wall because of their slow start, and every month, every game felt like must win. That's probably hyperbole by him, but the season has been won, at least the first part of it, where they needed to make up for their poor play, and now they need to do it again. It'll be Hunter Brown on the mound against a combination of Tigers pitchers. They'll have an opener and they'll try to make it work. But they got the one they needed to get. They had their best pitcher on the mound and they got it. Now they've made this not a long series because it's only three games, but for the Astros to win it, they have to go to the wire. And what does that mean? Joe Spada talked about it, how he's going to treat this game today. If he needs to use Kikuchi today, he'll use him. So what does that mean? Whether because of an injury, hopefully not, and also hopefully not because also, hopefully, Hunter Brown's not bad, but Kikuchi is on the table today. So don't simply expect, well, Hunter Brown today, and if we get to play a game through Kikuchi. If he has to go to him, he'll go to him. We saw some of that, how he operated yesterday when he threw in Josh Hader, which was questioned. The Astros were down 3-0, and he threw him in there to hold it down. And you know what? It almost worked out for him. A lot of the criticism of Espada's move for Hader was not in hindsight. It was at the time. But if you look at it, he got what he needed to out of Hader. And if not for, as Espada said, a couple of inches one way or the other, that ball is down in the corner that Hayward hit. And the Astros are winning that game 4-3 because Chaz, who had a nice at bat previous, is scoring from first. Those are the margins in some cases. Hayward hit that ball hard, just right at a guy, and the Astros go down. Now, I mentioned Sean Mapes isn't here to be held accountable for his lack of respect for Scoobles. That means there's someone filling in. I don't know if she's made the decision to be on camera because that was floated by Lance Zierlein that she could decide not to because, hey, don't give the people what they want, I guess. That's our motto here. But let me introduce someone who's never produced my show before, at least when I was here. She did produce it when I was out on vacation in Raheel
it was Michael
Carroll was in. Oh. They were out at East. Let me pause. I can pause. At East River 9, and she produced it back here at the station. That voice, the interrupter, is Abigail. Abigail's producing the show today. Yeah. My mic, my show. I'll say what I want.
Oh, right. Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
If you don't know the background, we're very combative. So let's see if we can avoid that throughout the show. Probably not. It was already started. But Abigail's here. She'll be producing the show. And she'll, I don't know if we have an intern out there right now, but if not, she'll be taking the phone call 713-780-3776. That's the number to call if you want to talk Astros or anything else. We'll get into some other stuff too, but obviously the focus throughout the day will be the Astros as they're on the brink of elimination. It's elimination day. We could be done with Astros baseball by about 4:30 today. When the Killer Bees come on to do their unofficial post game, the Astros season could be over just like that. It is what happens when you start off so slowly that no matter how well you play, you are in the wild card round. Two games into your playoffs, it could be over. That's where we are. I don't know if that's hit people. I imagine once the game begins, and particularly if it doesn't go well early, that'll start to take hold. But it's kind of nuts. After 162 regular season games where the baseball season seems very, very long, and considering what this team has done, there's always a deep playoff run. Normally it starts later, but we're always talking about this team to the middle, at least the middle of October, and sometimes in November. We saw what happened last year where they were one game away from going back to the World Series. It always feels like we are preparing for November baseball. It could be over October 2nd.
But according to Gilbert on John and Lance, we will win both games.
Yes, if you missed it, the saga that is Get Gilbert Free Stuff continued earlier today. And Gilbert, because he heard that a listener ordered him a hat, and it's next day delivery, so it'll cost the listener like $60+ to get Gilbert his hat. The hat will be a divisional title winning hat, a division title winning hat from the 2024 season. The hat's on its way to where Gilbert is now residing. Gilbert has lifted what I guess was a curse he put on the Astros. Initially, he said if he didn't get his hat by Monday, they would go 0-2 and be out of the playoffs. Now he's saying they're winning today and tomorrow. So if you had real concerns, I guess that first segment is not needed. They're going to win. They're making it into the divisional round thanks to a listener who decided, I need to get this done. So Gilbert's going to get his hat. He'll eventually get enchiladas and with cheese from Lance. All is well. We don't have to worry about it, right? Hunter Brown's going to be great. The Astros are going to hit the baseball. We're talking about a joyful post-game, unofficial post-game with the Killer Bees later today. So here's the setup. We are doing our normal show with a special guest producer. And then at 12, just like yesterday, Gallant and George will do an hour. And then the official pregame on ESPN Radio, or at least from ESPN Radio, will be on our air on 97.5. And then the game, and then the Killer Bees. Just like we did yesterday. Hopefully, there is a better result. And I heard a couple of people call in or at least talk about the fact that Michael Kay, the Yankees announcer, is on ABC calling the game. And it just sounds weird to have that Yankee, synonymous with Yankees baseball, calling Astros baseball. I imagine it's going to get really annoying if the game isn't going well early to listen to him call the games. I don't know if he had a bias. I didn't hear the game. I had the game on, but for the most part, it was on mute. Had on my laptop, was watching other things. It got second screen status, so I didn't hear him. But from the anecdotes I've heard, no one was looking for Michael Kay to call the game. So he'll be there. Hopefully, it's in a win, and then we can talk about tomorrow where we hope it's Kikuchi. But as I said, Joe Spada's not making that guarantee. We could very well have Kikuchi on the mound today, just depending on how the game goes. So, all right. Down 0-1, got one of your best pitchers on the mound, which was the same could have been said for yesterday, but the best part about it is there is no Scooble. There is no two. There's no Garrett Cole to Justin Verlander with the Tigers. They are going with an opener today, and let's see if the Astros can take advantage getting into that Tigers bullpen. We'll hear from Alex Bregman, his thoughts on this being an elimination game and how it compares to the season overall when we come back. Abigail in for Sean. We're just getting started. We will be back.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
I'd say I feel like this team's been fighting elimination all year. We were 10 games back, so we know how to play with our back against the wall. You flush today, come back tomorrow, ready to go, ready to compete, and leave it all out in the field.
A level of confidence, and you got Hunter Brown going tomorrow. It's a guy that you kind of talked into throwing a sinker, and he's been excellent since.
I got all the confidence in the world in Hunter. He's going to compete and leave it all out there, and he's going to pound the zone, and we just got to score some runs for him.
Alex Bregman, yesterday after the game, he went 2-for-4, one of the few Astros who hit the ball well, nearly hit a home run in the game. They go down 3-1. Kyle Tucker, 0-for-4, which is just a continuation of what he did in last postseason, where he had 6 hits and 40 at-bats. So Kyle Tucker, in his last 12 games in the postseason, is 6-for-44. Not exactly what you're looking from your star outfielder, who we want to give him some bail, shoot him some bail. He's coming back from an injury. But at this point, we're going to need him to be better. Particularly, not that this is a contract negotiation that's messy, but we know what he's going to ask for. At least we assume we know what he's going to ask for. And he's not, at least in the postseason, hitting like a guy who deserves anywhere near that number. I heard some of the Bagwell, at least I read one of the comparisons. He's very Bagwell-like. The Jeff Bagwell, who is unfortunately known for not coming through. I don't want to put that on Kyle Tucker, but you can only go by what you see. He has been much better in the 3 previous postseasons he was a part of, but last year and this year, so far, has only been 1 game, but of course it could end after 2, unless we're going by Gilbert taking off the curse. He needs to be better. He is their second best hitter with Yordan. Yordan had a 2-for-4 outing coming back from his injury. So certainly he wasn't hampered by not getting at bats and being injured. So Kyle Tucker certainly had more time to get in the flow than Yordan did. And Yordan was back to being Yordan. Guys like Kyle Tucker need to be better. I mean, you go through it. They had 7 hits. They didn't really get going until the 9th. And that inning from Fromber, I won't say it popped out of nowhere, because Fromber's very capable of one of those innings where it's like, oh, are we talking about his mental fortitude again? What happened? How do we get here? All of it happened with 2 outs. And Fromber as a guy in the postseason, we're talking about Kyle Tucker that way, Fromber in the postseason, he's kind of been off and on. You look at him since he's been an Astro, he'll have 1 really good year, and then he'll have a bad year. And not just bad, like awful. You look back to 2023, he was terrible. 0-for-3, ERA at 9, and 12 innings pitched. So if we're just going by it, if we're going by the trend, you think to yourself, 2020 in the COVID year, good. 3-1, ERA under 1.9. 2021, bad. 5 games, 5 starts, ERA over 7.7. 2022 in the World Series year, he was 3-0, ERA of 1.44. 33 strikeouts in 25 innings. Last year, as I said, over 0-3, ERA of 9. And then this year, you think, okay, we're back. Fromber, it's an even year. You're supposed to be back to being a proven, really good postseason pitcher. Well, we got 4 1/3. And those 3 runs in that fateful second inning, and we may not see Fromber pitch again, just depending on how this series goes. Not what you're looking for from your ace, particularly when he's matched up against the best pitcher in baseball. That was unfortunate. So we'll see what Hunter Brown can can provide and what that lineup can provide. We need them. We need them to show up, particularly Kyle Tucker. That guy needs to be the guy we know he's fully capable of being. And Blake wants to talk about Kyle Tucker. What's up, Blake?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I was just going to say, if Kyle Tucker is doing so bad, why don't we just bench him?
We don't, you know, they don't do that, man. It's baseball. I mean, no, like if a corner was getting his ass kicked play after play, even in the playoffs, a football like D'Amico or whatever, whoever the coach is, would bench the corner. We can't win games with you.
I just wanted to, right? No, I agree. He's still an all-star.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He's gonna play. Right. We just need him to play better. I'm not writing him off. We just need more. The guy has been awful in this last postseason plus.
Yeah,
and we know he's capable of more. We just need more.
I agree.
All right, Blake. I appreciate it. Yeah, I get it. Why not? Why don't we just bench him? Understood. The Laramie Tunsil thing that's been going on the last week plus or so. There's no recourse other than for him to play better. When he's on, he's one of the best players in the game. He's one of your best players. So go out there and show it. That's all. Now it's tough. The playoffs tell. It's a quote, I think, from Pat Riley, I think. You know, you find out who your guys are once the playoffs hit. And Kyle Tucker has been better in postseasons. Just the last 13 games, dating back to last year, he has not been. And that's helped lead the Astros to a 3-1 loss. I don't know if this is true. I mean, people can call in about if they actually were at the game. But there was someone at the game. I think he's of Apollo Media, which actually had a space in this building at one point. I don't think they have one. I think they've moved to a different location. Or maybe they're still there. Not sure. He was at the game. He tweeted quite a bit about the lack of energy from the fans. It wasn't a question about the crowd. Now, there were some empty seats, and obviously the easy thing to do is attribute it to the start time. It's a Tuesday. It's not a divisional round game. Is there a lack of interest? I wouldn't say that. But I think this has been a criticism of Astro fans in the past. They don't know when to stand. They don't know when to get up and cheer when it's a two-strike count, when your pitcher has a guy down. I wasn't there. I was watching, and as I said before, I didn't have the sound up. But if anyone was there, I'm interested to see if that reporting from you know, new media, a guy who's a fan but also covers the team, is true. I didn't get a sense of it, but maybe people who watched or did happen to go did. Was that crowd an energetic one? And I'll just read you guys some of what he said, because I am interested to see, because my thought was, is this, and maybe it's just the energy of the show yesterday, is this a playoff series that people are as excited about, or at least they would be as excited about if it was like the Yankees and maybe you're in the divisional round, but it's the Tigers. They're very anonymous other than AJ Hinch and Skubal. How do we feel? Some of it was, you know, get up. Doesn't matter what the score is. If your pitcher has two strikes on him, cheer. If your batter works a 3-1 count, cheer. A lot of, I guess, according to this guy, lack of energy. Apollo Josh won. I think he works for Apollo Media. So I wasn't there. Anyone who showed up, I want to hear from you. Did that feel like a playoff atmosphere? I know in the ninth it did when they're close to coming all the way back. But according to one attendee, it didn't feel like what a playoff game should feel like. We'll see what today feels like when it ends. It ends if they don't win. And you know, I think the team will be fine, but I think that crowd's going to be a little anxious. There'll be some murmuring, particularly if they don't get off to a good start. Whether Hunter Brown is good, Hunter Brown, and he doesn't have a problem, but if as long as they're not putting runs across, it'll become a more anxious crowd. Because I do believe there was an expectation that this series was going to be a relatively easy one, maybe a short. It was going to be short no matter what. But I think a lot of people thought we're winning this in two, even with Skubal. Just the thought that the Astros would find a way. Now you're going the distance. And I wonder how that crowd will react if it doesn't go well early. People are asking you to flex on camera, by the way. I don't think she has to
do
that.
Of course you had to read that one,
no,
though.
No, it popped up. I'm sorry.
Oh, right.
I don't know. Just someone asked if she would flex. if you would flex. You don't have to. There are no demands.
Del, why don't you flex?
Well, because people aren't looking for that from me. I mean, in fact, it was a request.
You're on camera, too.
It was a
request. Not just me.
If someone made a request, I could either do it or not. I'm just telling you, this is a request.
Right.
I don't know. I'm not reading Twitch. I'm not reading YouTube. I'm not reading the YouTube comments. Someone tweeted me directly and said, ask you to flex. I'm simply doing what the people ask. You don't have to.
You simply are doing what the people ask. Okay, great.
Yes, and he didn't spell your name right. He called you Abigail, so maybe even more reason not to flex. But there it is. There's the voice of Abigail. She's in today. So I don't think you have really a public Twitter, but I don't know if you read Twitch or YouTube comments. So
no, yes, I try not to read those.
There's someone new in there. You guys can relax or react accordingly. I don't care. It just so happened to come from a frequent tweeter, and I thought, hey, if she wants to flex, she can flex. If not, I guess the thought would be for people who – I'm not going to give your Instagram away. But would you consider yourself an influencer?
Oh, my gosh. No, I'm not considering
myself. But you do have a fitness-centric account.
I would say that I post fitness stuff occasionally.
Yes. So you are not beyond flexing for a camera. But it's your own personal camera.
Personal use.
Yes.
When I want to.
Yes, but she is not in the mode of flexing today. But she has done it in the past. Trust me, I've seen it, but not personally. I've seen it on camera.
That's crazy.
You do a lot of flexing on Instagram, right? Is that not true?
Okay, I'm not saying that that's not true or that's not. But I'm
so just, I've seen it.
You're calling me out. Oh my goodness.
Why wouldn't I call you out to your face?
Yeah,
without a microphone in my face.
I walk into the studio last week. He goes, "Oh, you're not wearing gym clothes." Fake news. I was like, crazy.
First of all, I would never say fake news. That's wild. That's a wild accusation. I would never say fake news.
Then what did you say then?
I did say you weren't wearing gym clothes. What are you doing today? Because you normally are, no matter when you're coming here, you're normally off the gym. It's part of your daily routine. Is that crazy to say?
Okay, what's part of your daily routine?
Snapping after the show. I'll eat lunch and go take a nap.
And waking up all of a sudden acting like you missed the show?
That happened once. You're going too deep. Like, no one's going to know what you're talking about. You have to. Here's a lesson. You got to be broader with your topics because now I have to add context to what you said. It doesn't help anyone that you said it that way.
But you can add context.
I don't want to.
Hey, we're here.
It's time for a break. I don't want to. All right. Let's not ever go to Abigail again. That's my lesson learned. When we come back, we'll get into some Texans news. It is a practice day. They're back from their day off. He says occasionally. That means every day. Yes, she does flex every day. At least for her Instagram account. When the man's right is right. When I want to, sure. When I want to, sure. Okay, we will go to break here. We'll talk some Texans. We'll get into some NFL news because there is I don't know if you want to call it a trade request, but a star wide receiver is now on the block. And the Texans also get a little bit of good news. It's not from a good story, but one of the Bills' best players won't be available on Sunday. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
This comes from Bob Nightingale. So we're going to find out the power of Gilbert versus the power of MLB history. Since MLB adopted the best of three format in 2022, teams who won game one are 8-0 in those eight series. In fact, of those eight series, only one was not a sweep. So the Astros have to do something. It's not very historic. This only started in 2022. But history suggests the Astros are losing today. They're not even getting into a game three. So we'll see if getting Gilbert his hat will change things. Because he said yesterday they're going 0-2, which would mean he was down with history of baseball. Now he's reversed course because the man can be bought, and all it took was a hat. So we will see if things change. But at the moment, wow, we're looking at an Astros sweep at the hands of the Tigers. That doesn't feel great. I do think probably one major difference is generally the team going for the 2-0 sweep didn't have a bunch of openers trying to get it done. They usually have a second solid starting pitcher. The Tigers do not have that. So We'll see if that's the difference today when the Astros and the Tigers get going here at 1:30. And you can hear that game right here on ESPN 97.5. Okay. I was going to get to some text and stuff, but we got a call. And calls always take precedent on this show. We actually do have the shortest wait times as opposed to the liars from the morning show. So, Keith, you want to give me a fun MLB fact? What's up, Keith?
Hey, Dale. Love the show. Love the morning show as well, obviously. Loyal listener. I've got two MLB fun facts for you before the Astros get going later on today for Game 2. The D-backs scored the most runs in baseball all year and missed the playoffs. The Mariners allowed the fewest runs all year and missed the playoffs. And my Astros fun fact is the Houston Astros have now lost 6 consecutive playoff games. Thanks, Phil.
He means home games. Obviously, they went to Texas and won the 3 road games. You know, the reason they weren't in the World Series with a chance to win a second consecutive title is because they couldn't win home games against the Rangers, which followed the course of the season where they were an awful home team. So, another home loss. That continues. And to his Mariners point, the Mariners had 92 quality starts, since I'm now Tim Kirchin, apparently, given baseball stats. They had 92 quality starts. The MLB average was 58. And that Mariners team did not make the playoffs and didn't win the division. The Astros won it by a comfortable margin. That's how bad their hitting was. The Tigers aren't as bad, but they're not great. It did not matter yesterday because they got to Fromber when they needed to, came up with big hits in that inning with 2 outs and won the game 3-1. Okay. Let's move on to the Texans. Anyone else want to get in? Certainly you can. If you want to turn this into fun baseball stats or any other stats, you can do that as well. So, the Astros lose. We'll see what they do later today. The Texans, they have a game against the Bills coming up here. The Bills coming off an ass kicking at the hands of the Ravens. The Texans squeaked by the Jags. Both teams are 3-1. The Bills are going to be without Von Miller. He suspended 4 games for violating the personal conduct policy. That's sometimes a very vague thing, but if you look into the reporting on this, this stems back from last year, where Von Miller had an incident with his girlfriend in November, where he was accused of assaulting her while she was pregnant. This happened in Dallas during the Bills' bye week. So the NFL has apparently concluded their investigation and decided now is the time for punishment. So we will not see Von Miller on Sunday and 3 games after that. He was accused of putting his hands around her neck, pulling her hair, and trying to shove her while she was trying to get her things while they're in the apartment that they both lived in. So that's why Von Miller won't be seeing action against the Texans on Sunday. So while it is an awful story, particularly if it is true what Von Miller is being accused of, the Bills are going to be without him, and it certainly doesn't hurt the Texans' cause when it comes to protecting C.J. Stroud, which throughout the season they've had issues from time to time doing. Some transaction news that might occur. The news has come over the last couple of days that Davante Adams and the Raiders are nearing a breakup, and now we have the reports of the Raiders actually shopping Davante Adams. Davante Adams, former Packer, traded to the Raiders, and he was thrilled because he was going to get to play with his college teammate, Derek Carr. Now, Derek Carr has been gone for a couple years now, and they have a new coach, Antonio Pierce. So now, they are not against trading Davante Adams, which is a little wild considering the Raiders are 2-2. They're not a contender, but they're certainly not in a spot where you would think they're trying to throw away the year. They're not the Jags. If the Raiders are 0-4, you could understand shipping off Davante Adams. They don't have a clear young quarterback to lean on. They drafted a tight end in the first round. So you could understand going, you know what? This team is cooked. Let's trade Davante Adams and see what we can get. This is just a personality clash. You know how desperate you have to be as a new coach. Maybe the problem is, or the thing is, Antonio Pierce is a new coach with a little bit of he's got a little bit of grace from ownership, so he can make a move like this, considering what they thought of him hiring from the interim status that it was last year. Hey, you can do what you want. You can set the team up however you want. Davante Adams isn't someone you traded for. So the team's on Adam's list are predictably the Jets and the Saints. Why? He played with Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. And as I mentioned, Derek Carr is his college quarterback and a guy he got traded to the Raiders to play with. So there it is. Devontae's not anything. He's anything. What you know him as is consistent. He wants to play with his guys. And Carr and Rodgers are his guys. Both teams 2-2. Both teams have the same record as his current team, but he's willing to make that move to get away from the Raiders. The Chiefs aren't expected to be an option, so that disaster scenario of Patrick Mahomes potentially acquiring Devontae, or at least playing with Devontae Adams, not on the table as it stands right now. Who knows what the Chiefs will do, considering Rashee Rice is likely done for the year, although I don't know if that ACL has been confirmed quite yet. ACL tear has been confirmed quite yet, and their offense is kind of sputtering, and I wouldn't say inept because they have Patrick Mahomes, but they're not operating at full capacity, and losing Rashee Rice and still being without Hollywood Brown is not going to help. So we'll see. If Devontae Adams winds up with an AFC contender, I don't like it. I mean, the Texans are fine at wide receiver. They just need their guys to be healthy. But Devontae Adams being traded to a good AFC team like possibly the Ravens could change the complexion of how we look at these teams. I think the Ravens, as we've seen, despite their tough start, now they're back to 2-2. I think they're, at a minimum, are the second best team in the AFC. The Chiefs, they have Patrick Mahomes, so I'll give them their number one status despite the injuries. But I don't need to see Devontae Adams wind up as a Raven. I think that makes the Texans a clear three, and maybe even a four, because the Bills aren't going anywhere either, and that's another team people are speculating about. Would the Bills make a move after getting rid of Stephon Diggs? Would they make a move for Devontae Adams? So if the contenders are looking to acquire a big-time wide receiver, I think it probably pushes the Texans down the pecking order just a bit. We'll see if Tank Dell, one of their receivers, is back on Sunday. The expectation is that he will be back. Practice is back today. If he's out there, you feel pretty good about his status, even if it's in a limited fashion. Just knowing he's back out there makes you kind of feel good that he'll be available for Sunday. Joe Mixon, another one you want to see. We're about that time frame where they were saying he could be back. He's missed the last two games. Does he get back to practicing? And then you may have a full complement of weapons for C.J. Stroud, as Nico Collins has established himself as not only the number one in Houston, but maybe the number one in all of football. He leads the Texans, obviously, in receiving yards. And he leads the NFL in receiving yards. He's the number one guy right now. And all the conversation going into the year was about how many guys could catch 1,000. Well, could go for 1,000 yards with the Texans. Could we get three? Could we get Tank? Could we get Nico? Could Stephon Diggs add to that as well? Could they do something rather remarkable? Right now, there is someone on pace for something remarkable, and it's Nico Collins. He's on pace to go for 2,000 yards, a little over 2,000 yards, which would be record-breaking. Will he do that with Tank and Stephon Diggs in the equation? Probably not, but at the moment, if we're doing the on-pace guy thing, through four games, Nico Collins could be set to make some history with the Texans. So we'll see how that goes going forward. When we come back, we talk some wide receiver stuff in the segment. We're going to hear from Stephon Diggs. He did a podcast, and those can go a couple of different ways. But he explained why he decided to get out of Minnesota. And while there were a lot of narratives being spun about him as a player, him as a person, and why he wore out his welcome in a couple different spots, we'll hear from the man himself when we come back about why he decided playing with the Vikings wasn't something he wanted to do anymore. We'll talk about that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So, Stephon Diggs, a lot of conversation about him coming into the year, and we're through four games, and the numbers are modest. He scores touchdowns, though. Scored another one Sunday. in a Texans victory. We all remember the play, right? Looked like that was going to be a throwback. He had a couple different options. He made the smart decision, pulled the ball down, ran into the end zone. So he has found a way to get into the end zone quite a bit with the Texans. Just the passing, at least the passing stats as far as his numbers, aren't the best. Like, we've got a number one. It's Nico. But if he's just going to score touchdowns, if he's just going to be turning to Chris Carter, that's cool too. And Chris Carter played in Minnesota, so does Stephon Diggs. There's a big story on ESPN right now about the Bills, Josh Allen thing between Stephon Diggs and that organization, that quarterback. And I think it's coming from the Bills side. Let's hear Stephon Diggs in his own words, going back to his first team, the Vikings, known for the Minnesota Miracle, the play that got them to the NFC title game the year the Eagles, I believe, went on to win the Super Bowl. That's probably his biggest moment as a Viking, maybe the biggest moment of his career so far. But that relationship ended, and there are guesses about why. Here's Stephon Diggs explaining why he no longer wanted to play for the Vikings.
It was like they treated me like a number one, but then at times it kind of like they played me small. So it was kind of like a little bit of a mind game as well, like being young and just being there. And I felt like a rejoice because I was like this, damn, I need to take my own life into my own hands. Like, and it was rolling the dice. Like, this ain't boxing. I'm not just by myself. Like, this a whole team. Like, could go sour real quick. So when I wanted to get out of there, I was like, you know, when I tweeted, I was like, I think it's time for a new beginning. That was me betting on myself. And it's odd. People don't even know.
What was you and Adam's relationship like?
Great. That's my bro. Like, I ain't no hater. Like, you know what I'm saying? I love bro to death. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love seeing them have success, but I just knew for me, I just wasn't going for it. Like, I'm like, listen, I love what y'all got going on, but it ain't necessarily the best situation for me. And there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You know, teams always look out for the best interests of themselves. And I never wanted to rub anybody the wrong way because my reputation was to, I worked hard, you know what I'm saying? I kept my nose clean. I did what I was supposed to do. So when the rumors came out that I was a diva or I was this like that, I was like, man, that's water off my...
The music's very dramatic. Is that a violin? A cello? What's the music?
I think it's a violin.
The man's just talking about... the Adam in question is Adam Thielen. Adam Thielen was the surprise star for the Vikings. It's been so long ago. I remember Adam Thielen lighting up the Texans and no one knowing who Adam Thielen was. I think back during the Bill O'Brien time with the Texans. Adam Thielen showed up. I think the game was in Minnesota and cooked the Texans. And this was at the very beginning of the Adam Thielen experience. And Stephon Diggs decided, I want to be a number one. And he made his way to Buffalo and certainly became that. So in his words, it was nothing other than, I need to be the guy someplace to show people what I'm capable of. And I don't know if you want to position it as not sharing the spotlight with Adam Thielen, but sometimes you want to spread your wings, right? It feels like that's what he's telling everyone. I was happy there. Everyone was cool. But this wasn't the spot where I was going to find who I was as a player. Now, going to Buffalo and Josh Allen, that was a bit of a gamble because Josh Allen was the inaccurate, super athletic quarterback, and that could piss off a wide receiver. And those two thrive together. Now they'll face off against one another, kind of. I mean, obviously, they both play offense, so they won't actually have anything to do with each other other than probably a little handshake, a little dap before the game begins. So now we know, at least according to Stephon Diggs, why he didn't want to be a Viking anymore. So take him at his word if you so choose, but at least we now have that answer. He scored three touchdowns this year. Two receiving, both in the Colts game, and then he also has one running. The numbers through four games, he has 25 receptions, 233 yards, and 9.3 yards per catch. Modest. Those are modest numbers for a pass number one wide receiver. If things continue this way, it'll be clearly his lowest per catch average ever. And for looking at where he stands, maybe not since his rookie year where his catch total was in the 50 range, would it be as low as 25? But hey, he joined a team, or would it be as, like, on pace, he's probably going to be in that 60 or so range if this continues and if Nico continues to be the number one, and we'll see what Tank Dell does when he gets back, because Tank Dell wasn't featured very much in his first couple of games too. Texans are going to have to protect better. And I guess Nico can't be CJ's clear number one for those numbers to change. But so far, those two, Tank and Diggs, have become mere compliments to Nico as he continues to eat up targets and yardage. And that's why he's on pace for maybe an historic year, as long as he and his quarterback can stay healthy. We're on pace for over 2,000 yards. Before we wrap it up, there's nothing like getting advice from your mother while you're doing a show. She doesn't know that the guest producer and I are very combative on occasion. And she texts me and goes, "Hey, maybe don't engage. She might take what you're saying the wrong way." She used to do this to me when I used to work with a good friend of mine, Kevin Joseph, KJ, who, if you guys have been listening to whatever iteration of the station over the last 17 years or so, you would know him. He used to do a show here a long time ago and also was a producer for my weekend show. She would do the same thing. "Hey, Kevin might take this personally. Don't say what you're saying." And I would have to say, in the most respectful way possible, I don't need the distraction from the mother, the person who raised me. I appreciate it, but it's just distracting. We can talk after the show, Mom. Thank you.
And I feel like she doesn't know that from the very beginning as an intern.
Well, you gave me crap initially, so it was on site from that point on. On site.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it, Mom. She'll be fine. And if not, Sean's back tomorrow anyway. Who cares? For real. I mean, if she doesn't like it, it's fine. She ain't going to be here tomorrow.
I mean, I may be here whenever Sean's out again.
I probably could request someone else.
Okay, who?
What's AJ doing?
That's crazy.
You thought I didn't have a name. You thought I didn't have a name, and I had one.
I didn't even know you remembered them.
Yeah, I'm not like John Granato. I meet the team and remember their names. I could simply request AJ, and that'd be fine. We'll see.
Okay.
Maybe he'll skip over you in the hierarchy of producers, at least when it comes to my show. Joe's right down the hall. We can have a conversation during the break.
Oh, yeah, bring Joe in. It's fine.
No, not on the air. I'll just let him know, hey, going forward, no more Abigail.
That's crazy.
Simple as that, Mom. Well, it'll be all worked out. All right, we got one more hour to go. I mean, probably the Twitchers and YouTubers wouldn't be thrilled, but it's my show. What are they going to do about it? We got one more hour to go on this show featuring producer Abigail. When we get back, we'll get into more Astros stuff. We'll hear from Alex Bregman. He spoke about what they had to deal with Scooble yesterday and why it was so difficult. It's probably pretty simple. He throws in the hundreds, and he just pitched like a Cy Young. But we'll hear from Alex Bregman when we come back, and we'll get into some NFL stuff because there's other stories to get to as well. We're 1 hour in. We got 1 hour to go. We'll be back.
What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me about to get them all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.